Good morning.
Like Tom said, my name is Sean Roach. I'm till recently associate pastor at a church called Fellowship Bible Church. It's an evangelical free church in Northeast Philadelphia, and presently seeking a senior pastor position. We have something perhaps lined up in York, so we appreciate prayer actually for that. But glad to be with you. I know Andy from the cluster meetings that the E-Free pastors meet once a month, and that's got to know him, great guy, and so we're praying for him this week as they're in Lebanon. Let's pray together as we open up the Word. We'll be in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 and then make comment on them. But I'm going to pray and ask God to bless His Word, as I know He will. Father in heaven, we thank You for this facility You've carved out here in this area of New Jersey. Lord Jesus, we've come really to exalt Your name, to give You the honor and the glory. Lord, it's only right that we do so. People have been doing this for thousands of years all around the world. And Lord, it's our great joy to join in with the chorus of voices lifted in honor and praise to the King. And Lord, I say the same thing, Lord. This is Your time. And these are Your precious people. This is Your word. And so we ask, Lord, that You would bless. We trust that You will. We ask that You give to each person who's come today a portion, Lord, that they might take thereby and be nourished. Lord, that they might be encouraged, they might be edified and build up. Lord, that they may have a greater hope and a greater love for You, that they may be conformed more fully into the image of Jesus, having heard Your word. So we, Lord, trust this time to You. It's Yours, and we ask this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. I'm reading from the New King James there. If you have a different version, forgive me. But let's read through, and then we'll come back, and we'll make some comments here. So verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Matthew and Mark, Matthew 4, Mark 1, also give us a rendering of this account. Some debate, you'll get my point of view. I believe there are two calls to follow Jesus in the lives of James and John, etc., and that they will catch men as fish. And this is the second one. Many believe that about a year earlier, Jesus had called these men to come follow him. They had for a season and then went back to their business. And now Jesus, the second time, calls them. One of the reasons I think it's a different call is in the other passages, Matthew and Mark, it says that they were casting their nets. Here it's they've already casted their nets. The night is spent, it's daytime, and they're washing their nets. That, among other reasons, why I think it's a second call. Now, the context then, Jesus has just healed many, Peter's mother-in-law, among others. He's had a full day of ministry. Those in the town say, "Please stay with us." He says, "I cannot. I've got to depart and go to other places to preach the gospel." And then this scene comes upon us. Luke chapter 5, then you'll meet four individuals. Today we'll just look at Jesus' encounter with one individual, Peter. You can read the rest of the chapter for the other encounters. I hope today you understand that you're not just part of a group, that Jesus sees you today as an individual, and that he desires an encounter with you individually as a person. A wonderful thing, the institution called the church, a group, it's beautiful, and God sees the group, but he sees the individual, and here he calls Peter to a deeper walk with him. And so what we'll see here as we look through the passage briefly is that there are two boats. There are two boats in the scene. I titled the message, Two Boats. There's a reason there's only two boats. There's going to be a boat that Jesus steps into, and it's a type, it's an example, it's an illustration of a spirit-filled life, a life that Jesus is a part of. Jesus steps into that boat, and that life is blessed abundantly. That life is blessed abundantly. And on the shore, on the scene, you'll see there's another boat there, and it's not blessed until the first boat is blessed and that boat gives away. Let's take a look at the scene. It says, verse 1, there was a multitude, so it was. The multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. He stood by the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret. If you're not sure, that's the Sea of Galilee there, sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias, 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, right, 680 feet below sea level, has a sloping coast there. And I hope you've come today. They're pressed in to hear from Jesus. He's speaking remarkable things in his ministry, doing remarkable things, and a crowd gathers and they're pressing him so much so that he backs up to the water and backs up further. And then finally, you know, he says, Peter, grab a boat and we'll go out into the boat. It'll be a natural amphitheater and he'll preach the word of God to the people. I hope you've come today to hear the word of God. I hope you're leaning in to hear his sweet voice speak his words of love and mercy, of grace, of kindness, of compassion, of peace, and of power to you as an individual. Here are the people, and they are pressing to hear the word of God. There's two boats standing by the lake. Now we're told that the fishermen had gone from them. They'd fished all night, and they'd caught nothing. Now they're washing their nets, and they're frustrated. Perhaps you're frustrated today. They're tired. They're empty. They're confused. They're fatigued. They're desperate in their spirit, no doubt, having fished all night and caught nothing. Let's take an aerial view in a helicopter above the scene. We see the crowd. We see two boats. It says they're standing there, and the Greek means they're anchored. They're anchored by the water. And they're really useless. Boats are not very good for anything if they're not in the water doing something that they're made to do. And Jesus says then to Peter, let's go out a little way. And he begins to teach the people. Wouldn't you want a tape of that, a CD of that message? You wonder what he taught, what word of God he taught. And that's why we teach the word of God. Jesus opened the word of God and he began to expound it, no doubt, to the people. And he taught them. And it says, when he got done speaking, and I like that, I underline that in my Bible, because it doesn't say when he got done teaching. When he got done speaking, he turns to Peter, and he gives Peter a front row visual illustration, a visual teaching of what he wants to do in the life of a follower of his. He turns to Peter. Now it says he gets done speaking, but he's not done teaching. He had taught the multitude, but he's given Peter a front row seat, one to be a leader in the church, soon to be really the preeminent leader, if you will, in the church. And he's got a lesson for him. And he knows Peter needs perhaps not just the aural, but he needs the visual. And so he's going to do something in the natural that's remarkable, that Peter might see and understand what it is to be filled with God's Spirit and what God can do with a life that can't be done apart from God. You know, it was said a long time ago by a man named John MacDonald that all that is done without Christ is destined to fail or succeed more miserably still. All that's done without Christ is destined to fail miserably or succeed more miserably still. How many live the life, but they don't live it in the power of the Spirit of God. They live the life, and there may be success as measured by the world, but I don't know that it's the success that God would want measured. All that's done without Jesus is destined to fail miserably or succeed more miserably still. I think these men had to find out that in the power and strength of their own humanity, they were nothing. That apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so Jesus teaches the multitude. And then he turns to Peter and he says, go out a little deeper with me. Go a little further, Peter. Wonderful scene as we're in that helicopter and we're seeing the scene. We're seeing Jesus there, ready to teach. And he's got some guys in the front row who are frustrated and fatigued and angry, no doubt, and confused and confounded. And then he calls to Peter. He says, let's go out a little way. You know, God is gracious to us as people. He calls us a little way sometimes and then a little way further. Aren't you glad? You know, I married 19 years. If I'd known what those 19 years would have included, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't have married my wife. I love her. I would die for her. But I tell you what, it would give me much greater pause if I had watched a movie about 5 hours long with all the things we would endure, right? Much greater pause. And here are these men then. And Jesus has them right up front. And he says, Tom, I'm going to teach you something. And I hope today you're pressing in to hear from the word of God what he would want in the life of a follower. He says, Peter, go a little further. He gets done speaking and then he's not done teaching. Go a little further. And now Peter teaches us what we need to know about ourselves. He's the great example of humanity. He says, Master. Only Luke uses that word, master. In the Greek, it's two words. It's the one who stands over, right? I have young children at home, right? And they're not so young anymore, but they were young, right? And I used to have to stand over them. Hey, clean your room. No, no, no. I'll come in. I'll stand over you. I'll make sure those socks get into the hamper. I'll make sure the books get back on the shelf. I had to stand over them. Here, Peter says, Lord, master, we've fished all night. We've done this. You know, sometimes God, when he calls us, he's going to defy or bypass our intellect. He's going to bypass our expertise. He is going to circumvent or short circuit our expectations. That's just the way it is. Jesus sometimes says things that are completely contrary to human logic. In fact, he said, if you want to be great, you must become the least. He said, if you want to gain your life, you must lose it. If you want to be the master of all, be the servant of all. Jesus said a lot of things. He said, he who has, well, more will be given to him. He who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Sometimes Jesus bypasses our intellect and it becomes illogical as he calls us into a deeper communion with him and a greater faith. And he does that he might bless his people. I hope you know him today as the blessing God. And I am not talking about finances or financial prosperity. It has nothing to do with what I am saying today. It has everything to do with the spiritual content of the life of a believer that Jesus Christ wants to bless. I'm not talking about a bank account. I'm talking about a human heart. And the greatest expectation that a Christian can have is a deeper communion with him. And if you or I settle for anything less than a deeper communion with him, we fall short because nothing but Jesus Christ can satisfy in this world. Nothing but Jesus Christ can satisfy in this world. Everything else is a pale counterfeit. And he knows that, and he wants to bless us with the greatest gift, himself. And sometimes he has to overcome us and our expertise and our experience, and our intellect, and our human wisdom, and our human energy. Peter, go a little further out. Master, we fished all night, and you're a carpenter, and I do this for a living. I've been on these seas for years. But will you take note what he says? Oh, that nevertheless, the divine, glorious nevertheless, at your word, I will do so. At your word, I will do so. See, the life of a believer is centered around the word of God. And the word of God is centered around the word grace. The grace of God. the word of God. Peter says, nevertheless, at your command, at your word, I'll do it. Perhaps today, there's a nevertheless that needs to be said in your life or my life, maybe. I don't want to get too close to home with anybody. I don't know your circumstance, but perhaps there needs to be said, nevertheless, I will forgive. Nevertheless, I will extend forth the hand of fellowship to you. Oh, somebody who's wounded me deeply. Maybe it's some other circumstance that God's calling you further out into communion with him. He's gracious. He gives us some time to get our sea legs, go out a little way. And then he says, come now deeper with me. Come now deeper with me. I don't know. I've been a Christian over 20 years now, right? And I've never really like, yes, let's go deeper. I'm always like, Lord, I like it here. It's okay. The water's shallow, sure, but it's cool. Why deeper, Lord? Why? Let's just stay right here. And he says, come. Come that I may show you a greater vision of myself. That I may give more of myself to you. That I may bless your life in an abundant way. And again, I'm going to repeat, unless anyone thinks I'm not talking finances, it's nothing to do with the equation. He says, come deeper with me. Come further with me. And of course now, we see that as Jesus got him one-on-one, did you ever have Jesus get you one-on-one, by the way? There's Peter. Now, we know he's not alone in the boat. Verse 3 says, uses a plural there. So, and we also know those nets that they used in those days to fish with were needed. You needed multiple people to man them. So Peter's not alone in the boat. Right? He's not solitary, but I think he's alone. Many people, right, they're not alone, but they're alone. They might not be solitary, but they're alone. But sometimes that's glorious when Jesus gets us one-on-one. I used to love to grab my kids. I still have an 11-year-old. Sometimes I have to grab them. Look me in the face. Get them right up close. And you understand what I'm saying to you? And I think that's what Jesus is doing with Peter here. He's getting him right up close. No one around to distract or discourage or influence him. And he's going to call him into a deeper life, a life that's filled with the Spirit, a life that's filled with him. And if you take note, subtly now, the commander of the boat, Peter, has been moved aside, and there's a new captain. A new captain of the boat has stepped onto the power scene. There's Jesus. Hey, Captain Peter, go out a little way. Hey, Captain Peter, go out even further. And Peter, in his willingness, then he relinquishes to Jesus. He gives up command of the boat and listens to the Christ. Oh, the lessons we might see in the scene. That Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will allow you to command this boat. It's a picture of a life, friend. It's a picture of a life. And Jesus then wants to take that life and he wants to say to that life, will you listen to me? Will you listen to my word? Will you follow my command? Will you come just a little deeper than you've ever been with me? Will you follow me just a little further in the path that I'm calling you to? Or will you rely on human wisdom? Will you rely on human instinct and intellect? Will you not be overcome by the captain, but will you be the captain of your own ship? You know, I think a good definition of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is somebody who transfers trust to him. Somebody who transfers trust to him. And here Jesus says, go out a little further, Peter. And Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. He trusts Jesus. Isn't it true it's hard to trust him when we don't know what he's doing? Isn't it true? We don't make life light of incredibly difficult circumstances like some we've heard here today. We don't make light of them. Oh, we don't have trite Christian sayings for them, and then we walk away as if that person's pain doesn't endure. But we believe the word of God, and we know it's true. And we know that the life that's centered on the word of God, that follows the command of God, that honestly avails itself of the power of Christ and says, I will go further, though I don't understand, I will trust you, will be blessed. I can't say how. I can't say the single person will be married. I can't say the unhealthy will be healed. I can't say the poor will get a $1 million check. I can't say those things. That would be a lie. But I can say they will be blessed with the presence and the power of the person of Jesus Christ. And when we have Jesus fully and our trust has been fully transferred to him, isn't that okay? Everything's okay then. Everything's okay then. And all those other things, they don't give us what we were hoping for anyway. Because we know in our spirit, they're temporary. The things of this world are passing away. Things of God are eternal. He calls them to a deeper walk. He says, Peter, go out a little further. He says, nevertheless, I will, Lord, at your command. And of course, verse 6 says, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. The life that follows Jesus, the life that is willing to go a little further at his command, will find itself so blessed that it has to give away the blessing. Right? It's the psalmist who wrote, he daily loads us down with blessings. Daily loads us down with blessings. And here's Peter, then he goes out further. They throw out the nets. We know he's not alone. There's a number of men on his boat. They pull up such a great catch then that he has to signal to the shore, to his partners. We learn he has partners, James and John, the brothers Zebedee. And he has to call to them, which teaches us, by the way, another example here in the text. Romans 14 says, no person lives unto themselves. No person is living unto themselves in the room. That every person is a living, Paul would write, a living letter, a living epistle, known and read of all men, that people are watching our lives. And we're either influencing them for or towards faith or are not. There is no doubt in my mind those fishermen were on the shore watching. The multitude was watching. They were wondering, what's going on? What's he going out to fish? Peter, fishing in the daytime, that's contrary. They fished at night then. And you certainly wouldn't want to fish when there's a big noisy crowd on the shore. You'd want to fish when there's nobody around at night, when it's quiet. And no doubt as he goes out to fish, they're saying, what's he doing? And the other boat, huh, what's going on? And then all of a sudden a great catch comes in. And they're so loaded down, Peter has to call to say, I've got to give some of this away. I need help. I'm so blessed. Literally, if you were given like billions of dollars and you couldn't spend it all, would you burn it? Would you just throw it away? Of course not. You would give it away. It's a picture of the church. It's the picture of an individual Christian that's blessed by the following the command of the Word of God. And they just have to give it away. They're not going to waste it. And again, it's not money. It might be money, but it's not money. It's all kinds of things. Everyone in the room with spiritual gifts given that we might spend ourselves on other people. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He didn't have money to give, but he had other things to give that were more important than money. And now I hope that we'll learn the lesson of the life that follows Jesus and lets him be the commander and captain of the boat that is our lives. You see, that we could influence other people that are on the shore, frustrated and fatigued, confused and confounded, anchored and weighed down by 1,000 worries and 1,000 fears and 1,000 distresses. And Jesus steps into a boat and shows a man, if you'll follow me, I will radically bless you. Now, I think this, by the way, I think that the great catch of fish, it had a couple of reasons that it happened. One was to pay Peter back. Hey, Peter, thanks for the use of your boat. I am going to give you a little financial remuneration. I believe that because God will never be our debtor. God will never be our debtor. Hey, I owe you one, Pete. That's how he is. Isn't it true? What a program Christianity is. It says he has good works foreordained that we should walk in them. Then we get to heaven and he rewards us for doing the good things that he ordained that we should do. It's an unbelievable program, this thing called grace, by which we're called to walk in communion with the King of the universe. He's so sweet and kind. And I hope that you know how intensely and passionately he loves you today. How compassionate he is for you as an individual. How near you he wants to be. How your pressing concerns are important to him. As an individual, as well as a church. I hope you know that. And I hope that his heart is on full display here. That he says, follow me a little further and I will bless. And every time we stand back and are reticent to do so, we're really questioning the character of Christ. And I understand, believe me, I'm in the same boat, if you will, as you. We're questioning his integrity. Are you trustworthy, Lord, to follow deeper? How do I know if I go further with you, I won't sink? How do I know I won't be further frustrated? How do I know I won't be more confused and confounded? Can I really trust you? That's really what we're saying. That's really what we're saying when he calls us to go deeper and we say, no, I won't. Here, Peter shows the greatest ability is availability. He says, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do these things. It's a picture of the church. They are so blessed. It has to give away. It has no choice. It's so blessed. Honestly, you don't have to shout out today. Are you so blessed in a thousand ways? We live in the Western culture. We can't even contemplate how blessed we are. You think about your pastor going to a place where this way of life is probably so contrary to the men that are coming from Syria. I've seen pictures of the Syrian towns that they're rubble. They look like the third world doesn't describe them. They look like the end times where there's no electricity. Our church used to support a ministry. It was a mobile hospital. They didn't have a hospital, so they got an ambulance and drove it around. I don't know how those people survive. I'm so radically blessed. But I'll tell you this, Jesus sees with different eyes than you and I sometimes. See, he sees frustrated men on a shore, and he sees what their lives could be. He sees what their lives could be. He sees with spiritual eyes. Ephesians chapter 1 says, the eyes of our heart, right? The King James, New King James, calls it the eyes of our understanding. The eyes of our heart. Do you see life today with spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart? Do you see how radically blessed you are? And then, really, we can't help but give it away. And I think that's both evangelism and in other physical, practical ways. I think they're both on display here. Peter now, it says, verse 8, Peter saw this great catch. He calls his friends, hey, help me out. And he's asked to give some away. He says, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Mimicking, no doubt, Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord and the throne, the robe of his garment there filled the temple. Saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. And he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a man of unclean lips. Here's Peter. When you encounter the true and living God, that's the natural reaction, is one of humility, one of uncleanness. We realize, wow, I am nothing, nothing in your presence. Depart from me, Lord. But let's take note of what Jesus says. All who were astonished were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so also, and here we learn, Peter has partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We take note what Jesus says there in verse 10. He says, do not be afraid. Literally in the Greek, it is stop being afraid. Peter, you're afraid. Stop being afraid. From now on, you will catch men as fish. He reassures Peter in that moment. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you don't know him as Lord and Savior, you know perhaps intellectually you've heard much about him, let me just tell you one thing. He doesn't leave sinners in fear. If you want to know him personally, you come. Here he reassures Peter. Peter says, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And Jesus says, Peter, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. From now on, he reassures him, there's a future with you? Yes, from now on, I have work for you to do. You're going to catch men as fish. Jesus loves to save sinners. And it's never from his end that they aren't saved. It's from their own end, people that don't want to know him. They don't want to allow him to be the captain of the ship of their life, as it were. I'd encourage you to think about that today. He says to Peter, from now on you will be catching men as fish. And again, I don't believe that singular phrase there means just, well, you're all destined to be evangelists. Because the church is just more than catching men. It's building them up, that they would all come to a maturity, not blown about by every wind of doctrine, but they would come to a maturity. There's many gifts that need to be exercised in the church. Evangelism's a great one. It's of primary importance, but it's not the only one. I think what Jesus is trying to teach Peter here is a life that follows him will be radically blessed in the spiritual arena. It may be that you'll be the winner of souls. It may be somehow else that God has a plan for your life. See, I think that Peter was given a fish example because he was a fisherman and it made sense to him. Perhaps today you might say to some teacher in the room, from now on you will teach men. He might say to some doctor, you from now on will heal men. He might say to somebody else, from now on you will love men. 1,000 different applications of the idea that you will catch men. But the primary lesson is the way we do these things is by having our boat filled with Jesus. That we have our boat filled with Jesus, that we do not attempt to do these things or live the life in the power of the human energy and flesh, but rather we invite Jesus to command and captain the boat that is our lives. And we find ourselves blessed beyond abundance. So much so we have to give it away, a picture of the church. See, the boats are a symbol of our lives. And there's a boat there that Jesus steps into. It's radically blessed. And there's a boat still on that shore in the scene. Oh, it gets called into the fray later after Jesus radically blesses one. He calls to that other boat. Apart from Jesus and his blessing, that boat would still be anchored there today. Still be weighed down in the muck and mire of life and its experience. Still looking to things for hope that have no power to give hope. Still looking for answers in places that have no ability to answer the deep and meaning and abiding questions of life. Jesus gives Peter a visual example here. And I think he does that for you and for me in the scene. If we're willing to listen, if we're willing to see with spiritual eyes, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's calling each of us deeper yet, just a little further with him. Does anyone want to say, and please again don't shout out, but is anyone willing to say, God's done with me, I'm pretty good the way I am. He's pretty pleased with who I am today, and there's nothing left to do in me. I didn't think anyone would say anything. He wants to call us further with him. Not because he wants to freak us out. Not because he wants to keep us scared, and because he likes to see us suffer or tortured. Because he wants to bless us. And he knows that he is the greatest blessing. The sense of his person, the sense of his power, the sense of his presence. Will you take note? It's all centered around his word. He breaks forth the word, then he gives the word, and then Peter receives the word. It's all the word. If you want to be spiritually blessed today, where are you going to find it? In the word of God. It's what Jesus did. He broke down the word of God. Do you think that he didn't meditate on the word of God? Of course he did. He read the word. He meditated on the word. When Satan came to tempt him, he answered with the word. All he spoke forth was the word, the word, the word, the word. The reason we don't trust Jesus enough, the reason we're reluctant to transfer trust to him, is because we don't know the word. or we don't believe the word as fully as we ought. We don't believe that God is for us and he's not against us, that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he's exceedingly abundantly able to do above all that we could ask or think, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he loves us with an everlasting love. Right? On and on the promises go. And I think as we get into the word and the word gets into us, why then we find ourselves trusting the only one worthy of trust in all of human existence. There's only one worthy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He may bypass our intellect. He may overcome our experience and our expertise. He may say, go out a little further, but Lord, I fished all night. And just to close, maybe you failed today. Maybe you fished for 25 years in the power and energy of the human spirit instead of the Spirit of God. Can I just tell you that Jesus will restore anyone at any time? Here was Peter after a night of failure. And he doesn't leave him there, and he doesn't turn him away. He doesn't say, aha, too bad for you. He gives him a living example, a visual, a front row seat. Hey, Peter, come. Just come a little further with me.